You're listening to episode 314 of the She's Building Her Empire podcast.
Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of She's Building Her Empire. I am so excited because I have Jordan Dooley here with me today. Jordan, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stacey. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Now, Jordan and I met this past fall at a live event, and Jordan is going to be one of our speakers at She's Building Her Empire Live, which I am so excited that you are going to get to see her in person, meet her, and today is just a little glimpse of what that's going to look like. So before we dive in, Jordan, can you kind of share your backstory of how you got here, how you started your own business, created what you've got today, and really have become a real true influencer?
Absolutely. It has been the everything but linear, as I'm sure I think many people have that story. But I actually started everything I do now after interviewing for a job after college. I was studying healthcare administration, thought that I would be managing a hospital or working in insurance, and went to an interview for an internship that was really related in the insurance field. And I just felt kind of disheartened by it. You know, it was like, it went well, but I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, you know? And then like every one of us has had one of those like life crises where you're like, oh no, I'm on the wrong path, you know? So that was basically what happened. And I remember feeling a little bit concerned because I was finishing school and I was like, I don't want to have to go study something else now. So I might as well finish it out, but I'm a little stuck. And I told my mom about this, and she was basically like, well, even if you don't do the internship, you know, just try some stuff. Like, you're not really giving yourself any freedom to, you know, you've worked really hard at school, and I'm not saying don't steward your responsibilities, but try something that interests you, you know, just like get creative. So even if you end up taking a job you don't love right away, you might have some hobbies and passions alongside. You know, she was never like, okay, well, go start a small business. Right. But then that's kind of what it evolved into. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. Like, you give me an idea, I'm not going to just have a hobby. It's going to turn into something that is way bigger than an average hobby. So I had tried a couple different things that were more creative. I thought maybe I'll do some scrapbooking, which, like, who scrapbooks anymore? I don't know. But I thought maybe I would do that. Yeah, and then I tried modeling. I thought maybe I could be in commercials, you know. They said no, so that was a shot to my pride. But anyways, then that led to, around that time, I was also kind of dabbling in the hand lettering fad. I feel like that was kind of, I mean, it's still really cool, but I feel like that was when I started to see things like that. Right as I was finishing up school, and I was like, I can do that. I won the handwriting contest in third grade. I got this. So I just started doing that for fun, and it would really help me remember things like Bible verses that inspired me or that impacted me, or notes from class that I wanted to remember, or quotes that I really liked. And so when I took the time to write it very beautifully and intentionally, it would stick in my memory more. So I started doing that, and then I started to have some friends who was like, hey, my sister's getting married. Can you make a, you know, sign for her wedding? Or can you make something for my desk? And so I just started doing that. And then my husband, who I was dating at the time, he said, hey, you're pretty good at that. Maybe you should do like an Etsy store or something. And I don't even think he really knew what an Etsy store was. He just was like, I think that's a thing, you know? So I said, sure, why not? You know, learned how to make an Etsy account. I don't think Etsy was as popular as it is now, just because this was early in the days of social media, like 2012, I want to say, okay, when this was all kind of starting to happen. So we were all just getting on Instagram and stuff at that right time. And then, or maybe it was 2013, but it was right around that time when it was like starting to be kind of cool to have something on, you know, social media. So anywho, I said, okay, and started learning, like, I'm going to take a picture and put it on Etsy, and I'm going to put it on, you know, things like that. Well, then that started to grow. You know, a year later, it was, you know, social media didn't have algorithms at the time, and it started to grow, and I started to get all these orders, and I'm like, what the heck? You know, my friends started to help me, and they would sit in a storage closet with me, and in the, you know, upstairs of our sorority house is like where the storage closet was. That was where my house mom banned us to, because I would get these like shipments of like packing peanuts and stuff sent to there. And she's like, you can't keep that in the kitchen. Like, that has to go in the storage closet. So we would sit up there and we would package and we would talk and we would ship all this stuff out to Germany and California, all over the place. It was amazing. And I kind of felt like a goon. I'm like, I am literally answering customer service emails from class, but okay, you know, no one knows that. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where it just grew and grew. And then I started sharing some of the stories and the things that we would talk about in that sorority closet and just the advice that we would share and the things that I was learning and kind of my own take on things. And that started to turn into something that grew really fast because a lot of people resonated with those captions. It kind of started mm-hmm. to evolve into a blog. And then I all of a sudden had an online community that was fast, you know, growing really fast. And I'm like, I have an audience of people that I don't know watching what's going on. And that caused everything to grow. So I eventually ended up taking a break from the retail shop and really figuring out, like, what do I want this influence to look like? And it's evolved a lot over the years. I've gone through different seasons with it, but that's turned into other opportunities to, you know, bring the retail shop back. And, you know, the whole heart behind that was when we were sitting in the sorority closet and packaging, it felt like a safe place. Yeah. And so I made a little tagline for it, put your brokenness is welcome here on it. And we put that on a sweatshirt. It's a clothing brand, and that grew and led to having an online community there. And that's also led to writing books and podcasting and, you know, creating courses and coaching and doing other small business type things, all because of a little shop that I started in college. So yeah. It's been absolutely incredible, an absolutely crazy journey that me and studying health administration never would have guessed, but I was just trying stuff. And sometimes when you try stuff, it works out.
Now, when you realize, wow, I've got a following here, people are listening to mm-hmm. me, did that mm-hmm. sense of responsibility, did it scare you? Did it excite you? Like, what did that feel like? Because you were still really young when that was all happening.
Yeah. Yeah, still am. I mean, it's been a little bit of a little bit of both, I would say. I love people. So in some ways, it was like super exciting for me. I felt like, you know, this is a cool thing to get to do. I get to speak into hundreds, if not thousands, of women's lives every day. But at the same time, I think with that, especially being young, when that all, you know, especially not only when it just started to happen, but when I started to realize there are women that are significantly older than me following me. Do they realize how young I am? Like, do I need to pretend that I'm older? You know? Mm-hmm. So there was this element of imposter syndrome that came along with that. Like, I haven't really done anything for you to be following me other than doodle on mugs and canvases, you know? So, it was odd to see that they were resonating with what I was writing and sharing and putting out into the world content-wise, not necessarily even just from a product perspective. And yeah, there was definitely an excitement. I was like, all right, we're going to make this happen. We're going to do it. But I often felt like I need to pretend I'm older and cooler and refined, you know, and that's totally not true. So
yeah. Well, a little bit of both. I think imposter syndrome comes in so many ways. And when, yes, you're identifying as a certain age and then you see other people who maybe have more life experience than you, I can completely see how you're going, what if they find out? What if they know this? Or what if when a lot of the people probably do know and they still just love you anyway, because that's part of you. So I want to hear, like, as you were evolving and finding yourself, did you very quickly come to what you are today, or was it a lot of trial and error? Because I think a lot of people are kind of stuck and not sure how fast should this happen for me. You know, I just am curious how fast it happened for you.
Well, I will say that the Etsy store, I've been trying to think very specifically because it honestly has been such a non-linear path that it's like, I need to get all this straight to be able to say, this is how long it's taken. It's like a blur, honestly. So I think I actually launched the Etsy store specifically online towards the end of 2014 or very early 2015. Okay. I had started to dabble in social media a little bit before that, like mm-hmm. I was mentioning, but you know, that's what, 4 or 5 years. And all that time throughout that, you know, that was as I was getting ready to graduate and do all of that. And at the time, I was also still trying to figure out, well, I still go get a job, like a real job, because there's no way I can actually like what I'm doing, right? This can't actually be it. And on top of that, I often felt like I was burdening my friends too, if they were helping me. And then when I graduated, I was like, I can't keep running this by myself. I don't have 100 girls to be like, hey, I'll pay you in pizza, come upstairs and help. So throughout that, you know, just it's been a long but quick journey in that so much has happened in a short amount of time. And I think that sometimes what we forget is things can happen somewhat quickly if we take action. And if we, you know, I didn't have my 5-year business plan figured out. I wasn't like, I want to have 17 retail shops all over the country. I think it's good to have good big vision for sure. But if I'd held so tightly to that and not just learned what packing peanuts were and then learned how to build an Etsy store and like let that evolve and say, oh, people are actually following for the content. Maybe how can I serve that need more than maybe just creating little mugs or whatever it was. I started to really pay attention to what was being asked, what was really resonating, and then how could I actually take action on that and learn as I went. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, when we allow ourselves that room to evolve and, you know, take action in ways maybe we didn't originally intend or plan, that allows things to grow faster than they would have if we held so tightly to like, nope, this is the only thing, this is the only way it's going to be, and this is all it can ever become, because then I wouldn't be writing a book right now. You and I wouldn't be talking right now. I'd probably still be shipping mugs out of a closet. Like, I wouldn't have a shop team. I wouldn't, right. You know, I had to close it down for a while, and most people don't even realize that part of the story. There was a year and a half or 2 years where like it wasn't a shop. I was just writing because I wanted to get a better pulse on what are people actually wanting, what's resonating. And there wasn't a sense of rush or urgency. It was just, how can I be really intentional with what I have? Yeah. And when you do that and take action, things can actually happen pretty quickly because you're not trying to control or rush. Mm-hmm. I think when we try to control or rush is when it feels like it's moving very slowly, or we're not seeing forward progress, or we're not open to other things that may end up being the thing for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And all of a sudden we get so disappointed. I feel like we get so disappointed when we want to rush because we're like, why isn't this happening right now? And you're hearing Jordan's story and it's been years in the making. So I think we all have to remember that. People always think all these people are overnight successes, and that's just not the case. So slow down, take it easy. Things will come. Now, where did
I'm still figuring it out. I'm still like, what do I want to be when I grow up? I don't know. You know, it's like it's evolving consistently.
Yeah. So. And I think when you're not evolving, that's when I would be worried. You know, that's when I would be going, why am I not all of a sudden kind of sitting here? So as you started to go, okay, I've got somebody listening, where were you putting your energy? Was it a platform? Was it your blog? Like, where were you putting most of your time and showing up?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, what I would do instead of trying to overextend myself, because I think that sometimes in our digital world, especially how dependent businesses have become on that, you can almost feel like you have to put so much out there all the time. And so what I really focused on was identifying what type of content is resonating and how is it best delivered so that it reaches who I want it to reach. And at the time, I wasn't even really trying to sell anything. And so what I would do is I would create, you know, maybe a long caption on social media that would serve kind of like an article, or I would write a blog post and basically take bits of that and turn it into what social media was. Mm-hmm. And I would, honestly, I felt like I was cheating because I would just copy paste Instagram captions into a blog post and be like, well, done, you know. But what was interesting is as I created a little bit of graphics and kind of learned Pinterest had started to kind of be a little bit more popular too. As I started to create those things and just find what needs to work for each platform and then not feel like I have to duplicate or overdo and do 1,000 different pieces of content every week and just learn how to break it up. Or have maybe 2 set pieces of content and let that be it. It actually would gain more traction because I wasn't bombarding with constant random stuff. And so as I focused, really, I would start either on Instagram or within a blog post and then break that up into Facebook, Instagram, and a blog. And that was it, you know? And I was like, I'm kind of cheating, but different people consume different content in different ways, you know? So I was still reaching a wider audience because some prefer to consume it on Facebook, some prefer to get a blog link, and some just like to swipe as they're scrolling on Instagram, you know? So that was how I started. And then we added Pinterest to the mix, and several years later, now it's turned into a podcast. But those were where I really focused to begin with. And I actually focused on Facebook more at the time because of the shareability factor. And I think we forget that. I think we're also caught up in Instagram that we think, you know, the bad thing about Instagram, the good thing about Instagram is there's a lot of engagement and good things going on there. But it's not like your content really lasts very long. You know, it's like it has its first day and then it's like done. With Pinterest and Facebook, the shareability factor, that's what really grew my audience. A couple of those things went viral, quote unquote. I had, you know, 40, 50,000 shares on certain posts when I only had 8,000 to 10,000 people following me, and that grew my audience really quickly. So I think we forget sometimes the long game is the more strategic game. So that's kind of where I focused.
Yeah, because I feel like right now, I do the same thing you're saying. What's resonating with my audience? And what's funny is we do, like, every Monday, my team shows me what my most popular podcasts are. And three of them right now are about Instagram. And it's because everybody loves Instagram right now. Everybody loves Instagram. But I'm so happy that you just said that, because it might be exciting and you might love it, but the long-term game, it might not be your best move at the moment. So that was really key that you just said that.
Yep. Cool. Yep. It's trendy, but not always. It might not be the long haul.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you have recently written a book. I would love to kind of dive into, how did that happen? Like, what made you decide, I want to do it? I want to kind of get into, because you're having it published by, is it Penguin Random? Where, who's doing it?
Yep, Penguin Random House.
Okay, cool. Yep. That's what I thought. So let's talk about that, because I bet a lot of people are going, wow, she has a publisher, even her first book. So let's kind of just unwrap that a little bit.
Yeah, so that has been quite the process. How long do you have? But no, truly, so when I was writing a lot of these blog posts, actually, I feel like I'd only written a handful. And an author reached out to me. I got an email, because at the time I had, you know, a little bit of an online following. And I thought, what can I do with this? Because I had stopped the shop. Okay. So I put the shop down, or I had really scaled back on it. And I thought, how can I still monetize this, but still serve the audience well? Because at the time my husband was trying to play professional football, and I knew, you know, we weren't engaged yet, or we had just gotten engaged, and I knew going forward, I might have to be very flexible with my career.
Yeah.
So maybe I should look into doing something with this. And so I was, you know, like I mentioned, writing quite a bit, and I didn't plan on that part being the career itself, but I had an author reach out to me. I knew who she was, had no idea she knew who I was. And basically she was like, hey, just wanted to say, I've noticed what you're sharing online. I think it's really great. Keep going. And I about fell out of my seat and peed my pants. I was like, this chick knows who I am. Like, what? I have no idea how that happened. I honestly feel like that was just divine. And then later that, where I responded, thank you so much. Next thing I know, she's connecting me with her literary agent, and her literary agent, who I also am like, do you know that I'm like finishing college? Like, what is happening? She was emailed me and said, hey, I'd love to chat with you about writing a book. And I was like, lady, do you know that I have written about a grand total of 7 blog posts? Are you kidding? So this has been a long process, because around that time I said, yeah, totally, tried to act like I knew what she was talking about. And she kind of educated me on the book process. We got on a call and we put together some proposals that all got rejected, because I had no idea what I wanted to write a book on. I had never even thought of that. I was finishing a degree in health administration. So I said, you know what? I don't really know. I think this could be a great thing down the road. Let's give it some time. Like, when there's an open door, we'll walk through it, or when the timing's better. But at that point, I just graduated. I was going to get married soon. Like, I wasn't in a place to really think about it. And we got enough no's that I was like, maybe not, you know, maybe not. So then that turned into about a year later, continued to write, created some resources online, started speaking, just things continued to grow. And next thing I know, I had a publishing house reach out to me, plant an idea in my head, like, hey, we noticed this on your site. We think this could be a great book idea. And then that evolved into a much bigger book idea. Didn't end up going with them, but it was crazy, because then all in like 1 week, I had several different publishers reach out like, hey, we want to talk about writing a book. And I'm like, this is weird, you know? Yeah. So it was really interesting how I kind of just tabled it, and I expected maybe 10 years down the road that maybe it would be something I pursue again. I wasn't really even looking for it. And that's kind of how I know it's meant to be, just because it kind of happened to me, and it all happened right around the same time. And so we really kind of looked at that and we said, we still have a very raw idea. What's hilarious about this thing is that was a long time ago now, it was several years ago. And the idea that we presented was so raw, was not at all really what the book has become. It's just been refined and refined. I think the core heart behind it has stayed the same, but just the clarity and the evolution of it, just like with the small little story that's turned into so much more. You know, it's like we laugh, my editor and I, and she's like, the book that we have now versus the book that we originally thought this would be are two completely different things. And I was like, not surprised. So that's kind of how that kind of came to be and what it's become. It's been quite the journey, to say the least.
Now, you said all of a sudden, like, people started reaching out to you the same week. Why do you think that is? Like, I'm always the person who, like, I investigate things. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Did you do that? Like, what made you think that happened?
Well, I think part of it was that my agent said it is kind of weird. Usually when one thing happens, it's kind of like a domino effect. I don't know if all the publishers like talk. I don't know.
Right. And maybe they do.
But I think maybe they do. I think part of it could have been, I didn't even really look that closely into it at the time. I just thought, weird, you know, and now I wish I would have been like, what was happening around that time? I think because that year, the year prior, we got married. So I started speaking a lot to the married audience. And I think maybe that has started where publishers were like, oh, okay, she's not just like talking to college girls. Like she's reaching adults, you know, like grown-ups. Yeah. And so I think part of that was different. We had a couple of those posts do very, very well. And so I don't know if that caught the attention. I remember I would have friends in a totally different city or state, like, oh my gosh, one of my friends who doesn't know you has been sharing this article you wrote or this thing, and Thought Catalog had started to publish our stuff. And so, you know, things started to happen a little bit more. And so I think just because my platform had grown and the virality of a few different things at that time, plus the season of life that I had then moved into, started to maybe get some attention. I'm not really entirely sure, but if I had to guess, that's probably what happened.
And I want to ask you, do you think you're naturally a good writer, or do you feel like it's more about the content than it is about the way that you're writing it?
I think a little bit of both. I am kind of a geek, a little bit of a nerd when it comes to how I present content. So for me, again, I think it definitely is the idea or just the, I wouldn't call myself Shakespeare by any means, in that I'm not necessarily the most artistic writer, but I have kind of found that when you can captivate, educate, and activate people, and you can really infuse that into your voice and not feel the pressure to be some special fancy author, you can write really well in a way that resonates. Because I think when I used to think what's a good writer, I used to think like someone who can be very poetic and flowery and use a lot of imagery and all this stuff. And so I often thought like, I'm not really much of a writer. I'm just an intentional communicator. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all it really takes. And that's actually what works. And so I've actually come to find, you know what? No, I have a skill in creating content and writing in such a way that not only captivates somebody, because I think whether we're business owners, content creators, or both, which I think is often most of us, we often focus on one of those three things. We want to have the awesome website, the really kick butt Instagram photo, or, you know, whatever it is that's going to captivate. Mm-hmm. Or we want to really educate people. Like, I'm an expert at this. I need to tell you all the things. And then all we're basically doing is creating user manuals for things. And people are like, why should I read this? This feels like school, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not fun. Or we focus so much on activating people. You know, you can be the most motivational person in the world, but if it's all cheerleading fluff and how you're putting out there, it's not actually helping anyone. And so I really had to kind of like look at this from a 30-foot view and be like, when I write, or when I create content, or when I make a podcast episode, am I doing what it takes to captivate someone by speaking to their heart, immediately drawing in their emotion or making them laugh? Mm-hmm. Am I giving them anything that educates them or makes them think or teaches them a lesson? And then am I following that up by giving them something to actually do with that, something to implement and action to take? So really writing with those three things in mind, I think has allowed me to maybe not be a good writer, but be a really effective communicator. And I think that's effective when it comes to writing, business, coaching, anything we use our voices for and ourselves for with personal branding is a game changer. So that's kind of something I've had to learn over the years.
Well, and I think people are so sick of just fluff. It's like, give me something good to actually go and do. So I think it's so important that you are able to have that combination. I love that. Now, we didn't even say, what is the book called? And what they we didn't even mention any of this yet.
Yeah. So the book is called Own Your Everyday, one word, because I love that kind of has a dual meaning. It can mean like your day to day, but it can also mean your ordinary life. I think so often we're so focused on getting to be extraordinary, but we often forget in order to get to be extraordinary, you have to show up for the small, not so cool everyday things. And that's really been my story. I mean, I didn't start my Etsy store thinking, I want to create a big business and have a team and be an influencer. I literally was like, I'm just going to show up and try something I like. I was just owning my everyday, right where I was in my sorority bunk bed. And I think sometimes we don't want to be seen starting small. We overlook the beauty of those small kind of awkward steps, you know, and the things that make us look like a crazy person. And our, you know, great aunt Beatrice questions and is like, why don't you just get a real job, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not just necessarily a business book. It's really the way we've been explaining it, I guess, is this is really the girlfriend's guide to a purpose-driven life. Mm-hmm. If that's in your business, fantastic. If that's it at home with your kids, great. If you're finishing up college, awesome. But here are the tools to get past these mental roadblocks that make you want to either wish away your right now or think your life needs to be cooler or figure out your future. I think we are under so much pressure, whether it's in the business world, the education world, the church. Like, I'm like, I go to a Sunday sermon and I'm told to find my calling. I go to a university and I'm told to figure out my purpose. I get online and people are telling me to chase my dreams. And I'm over here like, yes, yes, yes. But I think there's so many people with unfigured out dreams, and then they feel this pressure of like, I got to find my thing like yesterday or I'm behind. And it doesn't help that you get online and see everyone else doing their thing, even if they're not sure that's really what they want to be doing. And it's just this constant pressure. So the whole title is own your everyday. And then the subtitle is overcome the pressure to prove and show up for what you were made to do in your everyday, not in the, you know, I've got to figure out all the extraordinary things. So that's kind of the heart and the message behind the book, and really a lot of practical tools to find ways to do that right where you are.
Yeah, I love it. And you already hit like top of the charts just from pre-orders, I think, right? I swear I saw
you. For a couple days there.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. So I'm hoping it continues to do well. It comes out on May 14th. So we're pretty close now. Yeah. I'm getting a little anxious about it. I have like publishing anxiety, but I'm super thrilled too. I think yeah, it's going to be such a game changer.
Congrats. It is. It really is. So definitely guys go pre-order her book. I can't wait till it comes out to read it. I want to quickly, before we wrap up, I want to talk about the podcast because that's something really new for you and it did really well. So why a podcast? What made you like question, is this the next place for me to go? How did you kind of come about that?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I was sitting down with my team and I had requests for podcasts for a long time. And I think there's something about when someone can hear your voice that there just becomes a real actual connection and a trust there. And so I knew it was something that I wanted to do, but I also wanted to be very intentional about how I went about it. Mm-hmm. And I also really thought, okay, why do I want to make this podcast? And one thing I found was I want to use this as a marketing quote unquote tool in that it's not necessarily just to market like here's what I'm selling, but to actually reach the target audience for my book or anything else in a way that connects with them and serves them well for free. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you know, I think a lot of us or a lot of people I've talked to and girls I've coached, they want to start a podcast and make that their business plan. And I'm like, I would recommend making that more of like the channel in which you're reaching people. Like Instagram isn't my business plan, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I think we somehow think that you're separate. And so with that, once I kind of nailed that and realized, okay, now where does this want to fit, you know, or where do I want to fit this and how do I want to go about this? I decided, you know, I really want to make this kind of the variety show for the everyday woman. I wanted to give her personal development tools, spiritual development, professional development, relationships, you know, so we kind of talk about all the things, which is funny because I'm often like coaching girls and I'm like, don't try to make your business everything. And I'm over here like, but I'm kind of doing everything. But within the podcast itself, it's really great because it gets to serve different segments of my audience. There's girls who do want professional skills and ways to create content and ideas for that and encouragement in that. And then there's some girls who are like, SOS, can you just help me through a breakup? So it's a really sweet medium to be able to kind of serve those different pockets and not neglect anyone in my audience because it did kind of grow all these. I didn't start off trying to educate people in business or focus on my niche. I've niched down for sure when it comes to the products and the tools that I create, but not necessarily from a content perspective. And I found you can actually do that. You can speak on a variety of things when you're inspiring people on a higher level and when you get down to the molecular level, you can really break down your products into who and what segments of my audience is that serving. So that's really what we've done. And yeah, I mean, it put together a little launch team for the podcast because I thought people do this for books. Like why couldn't we do it for this? So we did that and they did absolutely incredible. They were just very encouraging and it hit number two on the top charts. It's been number one in our category several times. We've had glitches with iTunes off and on where all of a sudden our show no longer shows. So that's fun. But even in the midst of that, like it just, they've really championed it and it's just really grown really, really fast. And it's been sweet to see and so much fun.
So tell me more about the launch team. Yeah. What did the launch team look like? Who did you ask? What did that look like?
Yeah. So I basically about maybe 3 weeks before the podcast launched, I just got on my Instagram story. I said, hey guys, I'm looking for a couple hundred girls who are excited about this podcast. Cause I did have a group who was like, we've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd love to have you just champion this podcast and share it with your friends. If you want to be a part of a small community, we'd love to have you. And swipe up to, I think we did like a little application and basically the application was join the Facebook group, and there was like four questions. And if we felt like, yep, this would be a great fit, we, you know, said accept. So we got a few hundred girls in there, and then we did a few different giveaways and contests and ways for them to connect. And we created some graphics for them to share leading up to the launch so that they could tell their friends about it. And then on launch day, we just said, hey, if you can go subscribe and share and review and tell your friends to review, they did that. And then we had a couple different giveaways on things that they could do to tell their friends about it. And so it wasn't massive by any means, but we just thought, why not give them a way to get involved? And it really was effective. I mean, it was more effective than I anticipated. I was like, oh, cool, we're about Joe Rogan. Like, what just happened? You know, so they really carried it on their backs and have championed it ever since. I mean, because of that, it had 1 million downloads in 3 months. Like, that was not what I was anticipating. So giving people the power to be involved in something, there really is such a sweet, it's sweet because it gives them something to be involved in, but it also serves the bigger mission, you know, at hand. And it gives everybody a way, it's like a network effect, you know, instead of just being a consumer of the content, to be a contributor to it and to be a championer of it. Like, it creates a family within your brand, no matter how big your brand is. And I found this works, and we're so doing this going forward.
Well, I love that you're basically bringing in like another little sub community to help you like rally it, which it takes so much pressure off of just you by yourself. Now you have a team of people supporting you, which is amazing. You also said this very quickly, and I want to make sure everybody heard this. 1 million downloads in 3 months. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, just over 3 months. Okay. We had over 1 million downloads.
Crazy. That is crazy. You said that way too fast. I'm like, somebody missed it. And I want to make sure they understand that, you guys. That is such a huge accomplishment. So congrats on that. But it shows that you really are listening to your people. You really are doing what you're saying you're doing, what's resonating, and I need to give them that. Or that would not, you wouldn't have those results without doing that. So I think that's huge.
Yeah. You got to keep a pulse on it. I think that sometimes we as content creators can be so excited about an idea. And I've done this before. There's been times I'm like, well, that totally didn't work because I was focused on what I wanted to talk about or what I felt like I needed to share rather than what are they asking for. And now we even turn our podcast episodes, the way we title them, basically exactly what people ask us. It's my audience and my tribe writes my content for me because I'm like, I would have never said how to navigate the awkward post-grad years. I would have said something like what to do, you know, I would have even said something like navigating transition, you know, that doesn't resonate. But when someone's like, oh my gosh, I'm totally in the awkward post-grad years, you know, it's just what language are they actually using? Someone asked me that on Instagram or an email and I'm like, that's a podcast title.
Yeah.
And I think we forget to really use their language. So yeah, it's been really, really sweet the way it's just become a thing.
Oh, I love that. All right. Well, I could keep picking your brain, but you're coming to the live event and we're going to hear even more from you. So I'm so excited that you're going to be there. It's going to be such a great event. Before we go, Jordan, where can people find you? List the podcast, maybe just mention the book one more time. I want to make sure everybody knows where to go.
Yes. So you can find me on all the social media platforms, Jordan Lee Dooley. It rhymes. So people say I have a Dr. Seuss name. and you can go to my website, jordanleedooley.com/book. And you can find the book there. And the podcast is called She, S-H-E, kind of like she's building her empire without anything extra, just the one word. But you might have to type it with my name. We've had some iTunes problems where if you type She, it just doesn't bring up the show. It only brings up the episode. So it's kind of wonky. If you search my name, you'll find it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So Jordan, again, thank you so much for being here. I cannot wait to see you soon at She's Building Her Empire Live. If you guys have not gotten your tickets yet, go to shesbuildingherempirelive.com, get them right away, and then go pre-order Jordan's book because it's going to be pretty amazing. Again, thanks, Jordan. We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock-solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.